You want to talk about it?
I'd rather laugh about it.
Let's get a little dark about it.
On the Traumedy Show.
Welcome to the Traumedy Show. I'm your co-host, Rachel Wilford.
And I'm your other co-host, Megan Wilford.
And we've just been having a hell of a time trying to start this episode because Zelda's being a menace. Megan's having a mentee bee. And she also has a crater on her face because she got some work done today. Diving in.
If you're a longtime listener of the pod... If you're a longtime listener, you'll know.
If you've made it this far.
Episode one, double chin gate.
Bringing it back. We're circling
back. Bringing it back to episode one, double chin gate. That did launch me into a full-blown insecurity about my double chin.
Correct. It's been a journey. Since
you as well, but I committed to actual procedures.
I have embraced my flaws and you have embraced your journey to fixing them.
I'm way too committed to my vanity.
I might get there someday, but for now, you're being the guinea pig.
I'm being the guinea pig. I'm just here for the girlies who want to look best and feel confident about themselves and whatever you want to do or don't do. That's fucking great.
Yeah.
Do whatever you want. But I was like, I'm going to get cool sculpting. I'm going to freeze off the fat underneath my chin and it's going to be gorgeous. And I go to...
Quite literally because of double chin gate.
Yeah.
Like, to make it so, so clear.
Yes.
This started because of our whole first episode blunder.
No, like 2 days later, I had a consultation.
And so now this is round two that we're now talking about.
So I go to get it done. And then they were like, oh, you don't have enough fat underneath your chin. And I was like, well, what's this?
I beg to differ, sir.
Tell
that to my little friends.
If you're listening to the pod and not watching, I just double chin.
We just whipped them out. No, that we just like quadruple chin.
We whipped them out without warning. They told me I didn't have enough fat underneath my chin, but they're like, what we could do. First, I got microneedling done, which is like thousands of little tiny hot needles just kind of injected into your skin and kind of like a like vibrate-y way. It doesn't actually hurt all that bad because you get numbed. I got that done to increase collagen, reduce fine lines, blah, blah, blah. It's supposed to help with elasticity in your neck.
Mm-hmm.
And then I liked it, but it wasn't enough.
It was only just the beginning.
I'm also just educating our listeners on the different procedures you can get.
Yeah.
So I got microneedling done.
No, you're basically an esthetician.
I am an esthetician, yeah. Yes. And then a month later, I went back because she had told me, like, another thing we could do is put filler in your jawline.
Ash. Fill me up, baby.
That's what I said.
That was your actual quote.
I said, Tammy, fill me up.
Tammy, fill me up, baby.
She did.
Tammy always does.
She rubbed some numbing cream on me.
It's gotten really tantalizing all of a sudden.
I went today and I was like, should I get it underneath my eyes? And she's like, well, it'd be better if you put it in your chin or your cheeks. That would lift your eyes and make you look more youthful. And then she numbed me. She put a little incision in different incision points on my jawline.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she made a hole, she would put a little mini scalpel in my jawline, just carefully injecting this hyaluronic acid something filler to build me a new jaw.
You're a warrior. Like...
I have to, this is field research at this point.
It is.
And then, okay, so that didn't really hurt, but it was wild. Just the feeling of a scapula digging around in your ligaments. And she's like, oh, that's a ligament.
I'm like, ligaments.
Oh.
The ligaments of your face.
Were just kind of moving around with this filler.
That's wild.
I didn't used to have this. It's a subtle difference. I'm very happy with it. At one point, she was like, what are you doing tonight? And I was like, oh, well, I'm recording an episode of my podcast with my cousin. She's like, oh, my God, do you have a podcast? And then we started talking about cosplay. I told her the reason why I'm getting this done was because of our first episode and Double Chin Gay. And she's like, well, give me a shout out on the podcast. Mm-hmm. Shoot. What's her? It's Tammy at Gravity Med Spa in San Juan Capistrano. I don't know her handle, but it's Tammy at Gravity Med Spa, San Juan Capistrano. They were great.
We'll just like shout her out in our Instagram story or something at some point. We love Tammy.
We love Tammy. She was fantastic. And then one of my favorite moments of today, as we were chatting, we were talking about Ren Faire. We were talking about Shrek, how you and I are going to be Farquaad and Fiona at Ren Faire this weekend. Mm-hmm. Then I told her about Shrek World in Singapore. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, yeah, we had a reel that did pretty well. And she's like, oh, I think I saw that. I saw that reel.
It's so crazy.
Like, as Tammy has a scapula of filler filling out my jawline, we're talking about the fact that she's seen me.
She's just elbows deep in your ligaments. It's like, I saw you with Shrek in Singapore. Yeah,
I saw you be an idiot on the internet.
I saw you be an international idiot.
And now I'm building you a jaw.
This is our life. So that episode hasn't even aired yet, because technically that's going to air after this one. But
yes,
the people have already seen it.
The people have seen
it. They saw the reel. But they know that we're international icons.
That's why I'm filming on this side, because I feel like I'm more bruised. Yeah,
we switch sides this time.
We switch sides because I'm that vain.
It's fine. I don't have a bad side, so.
So.
Just kidding.
Both of them are bad.
Both of them are equally terrible. I'm just a big old uggo. And I embrace it.
That was my day. That was the update.
That's good. So do you have to go again? Or are you just done for a while?
No, so the filler lasts like 2 years.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Interesting. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Root around my ligaments every 2 years, Thelonious. That might be something I can get behind. It's like that's as frequent as like getting a pap smear, pretty much.
Yeah. Get them done at the same time.
Oh my God. Can you imagine? Why don't we do this as women? Like your mammograms, your pap smears,
your Botox, your filler, and your nails.
Your chin sculpting and your nails and your highlights.
And your hair. And your
eyebrows.
And
women are incredible. The amount of money and pain that we endure, honestly.
Oh. At one point, like we were talking about the pain of the filler, and I was like, this is nothing compared to an IUD. And you and I haven't even had like given birth to child. We haven't had that happen yet.
Nope.
But I mean,
that we know of.
But gosh, like, honestly, the amount of work. Some of it's voluntary, but a lot of it is like beauty standards and et cetera. And the feeling of, it's this trap.
The freaking plight, man.
The plight of being hot.
Damn. Okay, so you're good for 2 years. So you don't
good
have
for
to...
2 years. Yeah.
That's good.
Let's see if I get it done again. But. Well, I like it.
It looks obviously like if I didn't know, I wouldn't know, which is what you want anyway.
That's what I want. Yeah.
No, it's subtle. You've never been hotter. That's that.
Hey, and we're just going to keep getting hotter.
I'm just going to keep getting hotter. Pod. There's going to be so many
glow-ups. Our listeners.
Every time you listen to this podcast, you get hotter. No.
Yeah.
It's actually a scientific fact.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Darwin proved.
And you'll get smarter.
And you'll get smarter.
It's also what Darwin proved.
Yeah. I don't know how to transition this now.
Well, speaking of
dumb, dumb idiots. Let's continue talking about my dumb, dumb idiot ex.
Pain of needles being shoved into your jawline.
Ooh.
Let's talk about the pain of your former lover.
Oof.
Metaphorically sticking a needle into your heart.
Speaking of death by 1,000 micro needles, let's talk about one big walking micro penis on this earth.
Death of 1,000,000 infidelities.
Death of 1,000,000 infidelities.
No, that was a great transition.
We kind of put them to bed because now, since the last time we spoke, now this part, he and I are not together anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the ridiculousness and the just the like the audacity that this man has continues literally up until now. Honestly, quite literally up until now. So we will just get you caught up on everything that happened from June 30th until today, April 11th, honestly. So I'm just going to jump right in.
It's the only way.
It's the only way, Thelonious.
The
Fucking the felonious all over this podcast.
We explained it at some point on our Instagram stories, but I don't know if our listeners understand the felonious lore. Thelonious is the executioner in Shrek.
Yeah.
The guy, Farquaad's always like, Thelonious, do this for me. That mm-hmm. guy, the one who goes, number three, my lord. Mm-hmm. That's who Thelonious is. And just at some point, we started calling each other that after we went to in Shrek Singapore. World in Singapore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the short of it.
That's the gist. It became a bit because I was saying it because I am Farquaad. So I was just saying like, Thelonious, fetch me my moo moo and weird shit like that. And then it just turned into, you were Thelonious and I was Thelonious. And for every sentence beginning and end, it had to be Thelonious.
It had to be Thelonious. This is when you went to Asia recently.
Yeah.
And now, to this day, your contact and my phone name is Thelonious. And
as is yours and mine.
Because we're both Thelonious. And I don't even know sometimes how to even like talk to you without saying that. So you might hear Thelonious in the pod.
You're going
to
hear Thelonious quite frequently in this pod because we just Thelonious all up in this bitch all over the time.
I hope that our listeners start using it too.
I hope they do.
And then we'll start to know on the street who's listening to the pod.
Oh, just yell Thelonious at us in the street and then we'll know. Then we'll know.
Ooh, I love that.
We'll know you're a real one.
Uh-huh.
Ooh.
I love that.
I love that too. It's like a cat call, but like one that we want.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes, please.
It's a Thelonious
call. Thelonious, I love your jaw.
Rare.
Someone.
Thanks, Thelonious.
Okay, Thelonious.
Okay. So I leave him on June 29th, and immediately it was, I mean this so sincerely, the brain fog that immediately dissipated when I left that man. Mm. Like, I just felt so clear-headed and light, and like I had just extricated myself from a mental torture chamber. Like, I finally felt like I could breathe and think again.
You woke up, like, you snapped out of it so quick, like, hard, and all of a sudden you were, like, yourself again.
It was wild. Mm-hmm. I truly, truly was brainwashed. And immediately that night, I started actually making jokes with my family and one of my friends about starting a stand-up comedy routine about everything that had gone down.
Mm-hmm.
And I just already had that feeling that same night that like I was gonna do something with that story, because I am I've always been a writer. I'm a journalism major. I'm just a natural storyteller, so I can kind of see when there is a good story to be told. And I was like, this one is just so wild. So I start this healing journey, and I don't talk to him for a week. I don't hear from him, but he does kind of stalk me pretty immediately.
Yeah.
So when I broke up with him, I think it was a Thursday. And then that following Sunday, I wanted to go to our church. We had been going to this church throughout this whole time where he was very much spiritually manipulating me and stuff. But I really liked the church personally. No one could go with me, so I went alone. And he showed up wearing my favorite color. He owns one shirt that's yellow, and he chose that shirt to wear that day. He showed up to church, and he walked up to me during worship and asked if he could sit by me, and I said no. And he kind of threw a fit, and then he just stormed out.
Yeah.
And left. And it's like, yeah, okay, you weren't there.
Because he wasn't actually trying to go to church.
He wasn't there for that. He's trying to...
hoping you would take him back because of his yellow shirt.
Correct. Correct. It didn't work. Just looked like urine. And then I ran into him on 4th of July. He just decided to go to where he knew I was going to be with his brother. And it was just kind of one of those things where he was just kind of popping up when I wasn't really wanting him. I absolutely wasn't wanting him to pop up anymore.
Yeah.
But also something that was so interesting was I very quickly got over any sort of sadness of the relationship ending. It really was only like a week that I was sad and kind of grieving it, which was something that I was really scared about always in breaking up with him was like, I'm going to be so sad and missing him and I've lost my best friend and all these things. And I did cry a little bit up until like 4th of July and maybe the day after, which was about a week. And then after that, I kind of just stopped crying about the person. I started instead more grieving what happened to me.
Yeah. That it was so much of your life.
It was so much of my life and just all the things that he did to me and just the absolute hell and torture that he put me through for months. And just that like the last, certainly the last 5 years of my life had been a facade. Like they really were. It was not the picture that I was painted by him. And so a week goes by and he finally calls me for the first time. I don't answer and he leaves me this voicemail and he's like, hey, I just miss you so much. Like I want to get together and talk. Maybe we can go for a walk. And I have a tattoo scheduled for this weekend. I'm going to get an R tattooed on me. And I was like, that is really psychotic.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? I did not call him back. And at this point, I think he and I were starting to, like, I was starting to grapple with, okay, we need to sell the house that we own.
Because you had been staying at your parents' house as well.
That's right. Yeah. I had packed up all my bags and I was staying at my parents' house where I would stay until mid-September. So I was now in the thick of talking to my mom and dad about how we were going to go about selling this house. And unfortunately, that's why I couldn't just block him entirely right off the bat. I had to stay in contact with him for those reasons. I eventually, within a week or two, within like a week and a half, we finally start talking about selling the house. And I remember so clearly, I was nervous to speak to him, but I was in front of a mirror and just watching myself talk to him. And I was very just like emotionally withdrawn from the conversation. He was definitely kind of trying to use a lot of his old tricks and tactics and things to draw me in. And I was almost kind of like out manipulating him back. And I was like watching myself do it in the mirror and it was really wild. But I told him that I didn't want to be communicating with him by phone or text. I wanted to communicate with him by email because every time he would call me out of nowhere or text me out of nowhere, it just really like kind of sent me into a rage. I was actually like having a lot of rage at that time.
Yeah.
And so I was trying to, I set that very clear boundary. Like, if you need to talk to me about something about the house, please email me.
Yeah.
And for the next 2.5 months, he violated those boundaries constantly, constantly, every step of the way. And it was super annoying. But so it took a while for him to agree to selling the house. He wanted to try to keep it and rent it. He wanted me to keep it and live there with you. I have a voicemail from him we just listened to before we started this that he's like, I'm really hoping that you change your mind and you want to keep living there with me. And it's like, he just wasn't getting it.
He didn't want to sell it with you because it's like his last remaining tie.
This was his last thread to me and he knew that. And so he was doing everything that he could to not give that up.
Yeah.
So eventually he does agree to it and we start the process. And fortunately, he also agreed to sign a legal document. So my mom and I found a lawyer who drew up this document stating that in the sale of this house, I will receive what I put in financially initially and he will receive what he put in financially initially because my portion was so much greater. It was 80% of the down payment I paid. It was a lot of money and he paid 20. And so fortunately he agreed to that. So I got all my money back. But in the grand scheme of things, we actually did make a profit on the house. It was such a godsend that we were able to sell it as quickly as we did, mm-hmm. and that we were able to actually make a profit. It was great. Like it could have turned out so differently. I could still be trying to sell this house today and be dealing with him, or I could have lost a lot of money. Like, fortunately, that's not what happened. But before we drew up those papers and signed the document, the very like down to the wire, I very kindly asked him over email, "Hey, I just want to ask, because I paid for 80% of this house and you paid for 20, and because of everything that you put me through, would you consider splitting this profit 80-20?
Yeah.
And he said no.
Thank you, but no.
Thank you. I appreciate you asking, I'm pretty sure is what he said, but no, Rachel, no. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay.
It's giving him taking back the ring when when you first found out about the affairs and whatnot. Mm-hmm.
That was going on behind the scenes with the house. And meanwhile, like I said, he is just violating my boundaries every step of the way. And I have screenshots and stuff I'm going to reference at this point, because I obviously don't have all of this memorized and all the dates and things like that. He would also send me voice memos and things like that, where he was like crying in them, but it's so obviously a fake cry. It's like a lot of sniffles. Mm-hmm. And I just would like kind of constantly get those. And something that happened, so after he called me a couple times telling me he's going to get this tattoo of me and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And remember, I was going to therapy still, and we had done premarital counseling at the same place where I see my personal therapist. My personal therapist, we'll call her Linda, and the couple's therapist we'll call Claire. So when he and I broke up, I reached out to Claire and told her I broke up with him. We're not going to need any more sessions. Thank you so much for everything. And I go and I have my session with Lind after he's left me this crazy voicemail about getting a tattoo and all these things he's going to do to prove his love for me or whatever. And in the middle of me telling her this, she stops me and goes, "Claire saw him out with another woman just this past weekend." And I was like,
"Linda,
what?" And she's like, "Wow. Yeah."
How recent was this after you broke up?
It had been like a week and a half.
Okay. As he's sending you these messages and crying, come back, he's already out on another date.
Correct.
Your therapist told you.
Our couple's therapist told my therapist, and she told me. If that doesn't say like everything you need to know, like clearly the couple's therapist was seeing things all along too. And was like,
yeah,
absolutely not, but wasn't gonna step in. But when she did see him out, she felt compelled.
And when they knew you were already broken up, but when therapists kind of maybe cross certain boundaries or tell you those things, like they know, like we have to look out for this girl.
Yeah.
Those are the real ones.
No, my therapist, I would.
Shout out to Linda.
Die for her.
We love our therapist on the pod.
She's the best. So that sends me into a rage. I was so mad. And I
sorry, you had this like little mad eyebrow raise that you were like, I was so mad.
Oh, I'm just like, it just sent me back to that space of I was just so mad about that, because
he's sending you sniffly voice messages.
Yes. And telling me like I'm still gonna be his wife someday. He's so confident in that. And then then he's just ending the voice message and going on a date with some other chick. Huh. Not that I even like wanted him back in any capacity at that point. It's just like, oh my God, dude, you're such a liar. Like, just stop.
Yeah.
Just leave me alone. Yeah. Seriously. Like, this is what you're doing behind the scenes. Nobody believes you anymore. But what I was also really pissed at the thought of was, oh my God, he's dating other women immediately already. He is absolutely going to be taking them to our house to have sex with them.
Yes.
And
yes,
the house that I paid for.
Yeah.
For a sham of a relationship. And I was like, no.
No. Not on your watch.
Not on my watch. So what
I did.
Not on your watch,
Thelonious.
Not on my watch, Thelonious. So what I did was I drove home, and what I wanted to do, I showed up. I'm yelling to my parents. I'm so mad. And I'm like, we're going over to the house right now, because he still hadn't gotten all of his stuff that I so kindly packed for him and put in the garage. Yeah. All his crap was still in there. He hadn't taken it. And I knew it was just a way for him to kind of keep his claws in there and whatever, not fully sever the tie. And it just was really grinding my gears. So I told my parents, we are going to go get his stuff and dump it on his front porch of his parents' house, and then I'm gonna take a shit on it. No, I didn't say that. But I was like, we're gonna go gather up his stuff and we're just gonna deliver it to the doorstep. I don't want him to have any reason to go to this house.
Yeah.
And then we're gonna set up my Ring doorbell camera that I had from my apartment that I just hadn't set up at our house yet. And my parents talked me down off the ledge, and they're like, you need to be so careful and not do anything that's going to piss him off, because we need him to cooperate and sell this house. You need to be able to get your money and then do whatever you want, but don't do anything until you get your money.
Yeah.
And that was the mentality I had to stay with for 2.5 months. I had to just let him do whatever he wanted, really. And I couldn't say anything to him. I couldn't blow up at him. I couldn't tell him how I really felt for 2.5 months. And so what I did instead was I just went rage hiking every single day. I would go hike in the hills for miles and just blast rage music in my ears and just go to town in the summer heat in the hills. I did that every single day.
I forgot about your rage hike era.
Oh yeah. That was my therapy. Like even more than my actual therapy.
Yeah.
I had to do it every day or I would like go insane. It was just taking everything in me to say nothing to him for 2.5 months.
Yeah.
It's driving me insane. So my parents talked me off the ledge. We didn't go deliver the stuff to his house. We left it there. But we did go install the Ring doorbell camera.
Please sponsor us, Ring doorbell.
Ring doorbell. Do you want cheaters across America? Maybe across the globe. They might be international. Catching cheaters internationally. Ring doorbell. We're going to start doing ads in our podcast for Ring doorbell.
Yes.
And people are going to freak out. So my mom and my dad and I go over there and we install this Ring doorbell camera, and we don't tell him, obviously. Mm-hmm. So a week later, I don't even know actually if it was a week. It was, I know exactly the day that it was. It was July 20th when I catch him. Mm. So we had been broken up for about 2.5 weeks at this point. So yeah, it probably a week went by, and I have the notifications on my phone for when there's motion at the door. I'm just sitting in the room in my parents' house. I'm about to just settle in with some ice cream and watch a show. I'm in my pajamas and I get this notification, 9:00. There's motion at your front door, 9 p.m. on a Thursday. And I go, no freaking way. And I click on it and it's live time. He is going. I have the video. I watch him.
Picture it.
He's with, okay, setting the scene. It's dark. He is with a girl. It's him and a blonde girl. Her hair's in a ponytail. She's standing behind him, looking directly at the camera. And I honestly, I'm not sure like what the look on her face was. It almost was like maybe she had been there before and was like, I don't remember this camera here last time.
It's like confusion.
It was like, there's a camera there, and just kind of thinking about it. I don't know. But he's unlocking the door and I see him look at the camera, and I was quick enough. I got in there just in time to be able to, because you can speak through these Ring doorbells from the phone. So I speak into it and go, hi, blank, I see you. And he goes inside and closes the door.
I have a
tiny visitor. Zelda's coming to hang out right now with me. he's supporting me in this moment.
I remember that there's people just listening to this. So when you say, I have a tiny visitor, and then you go on, people are like, oh.
Yeah, I gotta explain what the hell we're talking about.
Zelda, my cat, is here with us
now. Yeah, I'm petting the cat next to me as he tried to pet one in our home.
Nice okay. One, Thelonious.
Thank you, Thelonious. So I get up. I race downstairs as I'm calling him over and over and over again, and he's not answering. I text him and I say, I see you. Get the fuck out of our house. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't respond. And I run downstairs. I don't even put shoes on. I say to my parents, he has a girl at the house. I'm going. And I just grab my keys and I run out the door and I get in my car because I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do when I get there, but I just want him to feel so embarrassed. Yeah. I want his ex-fiance to show up while he has a chick in this house. Yes. And be like, hey, what you doing in my bed? Uh-huh, you know? Uh-huh. And so my dad runs out after me and basically jumps in the car, like, as I'm doing a drive-by, like, leaving.
Like, getaway car from Taylor Swift.
Yeah. No, he literally, I'm on the freeway going so fast. He's like, can you please slow down? Like, I don't want to die. He was actually so frightened. By the time that we got there, he had vacated the premises. He had fled. He had fled with this chick. And I get a text 2 hours later.
2 hours, yeah.
We had another work hangout night at the bar down the street. I had blank, his chick, and blank in my car. I was at the house for 1 minute because blank's girlfriend had to use the bathroom. That happened, then we all left. I'm not going to the house to hang out. It's really painful to be there. Thanks for the concern. Yeah. And I was like, interesting. Why did it take you 2 hours to send me that then? It's so out of the way. He's yeah. saying that they were like hanging out. The house is in the hills.
Right.
Like, it was so out of the way to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
It's not, it doesn't make sense. You don't, it doesn't make sense. And he's ushering this girl in, hand on her lower back.
The hand is on the back. Yeah.
Hand on her lower back, ushering her into the home.
Right.
No.
It's just like, why are you still lying?
Yeah. It doesn't matter. Like, just don't. Okay, you took a girl there. I caught you. Just,
you guys aren't.
It is what it is.
Together anymore. But like, A, don't take girls to the house that you own.
Yeah. Just don't do that, please.
Stop trying to. It's like he's still trying to preserve his image with you because he thinks that you guys are going to get back together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then after that. Oh my God. Yeah, he wanted to like sit down with the couple's therapist and have a final sit down with Claire as a middleman to talk about the divorce. I really can't lose you and I will do anything for this relationship. I love you, Rachel Wilford. So cuckoo bananas. So after that, I get another sniffly autumn voice message, it looks like. The next weird thing I get from him is the morning before our would-be wedding. So mm-hmm. July 27th, mm-hmm. I wake up and I have an email from him. And meanwhile, he's been texting me a bunch.
All the time.
Which I've asked him not to do. Sending me voice messages, calling me, whatever. I get this email. I put a package for you on our washing machine in the garage. I would love for you to stop by at some point today to grab it and look over. Friday, I plan on going to the park around 4 p.m. He means the park where we were going to get married. Mm-hmm. And he means the Friday, July 28th, the day we were supposed to get married. Just going to sit there, read a book, and take it in. Maybe you would want to join.
Maybe you would want to join.
Maybe I wouldn't, actually. Consider that. Maybe I just wouldn't want to join.
Yeah.
I just pictured him sitting alone in that park, not reading a book. No. Just sitting there. The package included a 4-page long typed letter, mm-hmm. which we read the next day on my wedding day as mm-hmm. we celebrated me not marrying this person. Mm-hmm. It also contained a scrapbook photo album of so many pictures of us over the course of 10 years with things written on the back of each one. And then there was a soccer ball dog toy for my dog, mm-hmm. which was massive manipulation tactic. Mm-hmm. Some chapstick, because I love chapstick, and a lobster stuffed animal because of the thing. You've never seen Friends, okay. But Phoebe goes, "You're my lobster," or whatever. "He's your lobster." So the next day, I have my friends come, and we still do the limo that I had booked for our wedding day, for our wedding party.
Yeah.
And it was epic.
We had an unwedding celebration.
Yeah. It was awesome. We got dressed up. We went to the Ritz and got drinks. And then we took it all the way down PCH to the first stop was the Montage, where he and I had our first date. And he proposed to me the second time. Mm-hmm. And that is where I had Key from our first engagement at Machu Picchu. We did this like love lock bridge thing at the bottom of Machu Picchu and wrote our initials on it and stuff after we got engaged, and we each had a key. I threw that key in the ocean, and then we read the 4-page long letter, and it was absolutely so unhinged. I'm obviously not going to read the whole thing, but he basically like starts off by saying, "I know I've made a lot of mistakes over the last 10 years, but I made them because of you, because of all these things, because of you're the issue."
Oh, ultimately. I forgot he said that.
Remember that?
Yeah.
He kind of just goes into like how I'm the problem.
Which you had convinced yourself for a while. It's like he's almost reaffirming that.
Yeah.
Wait, like that way he had you trapped and manipulated that you were part of the problem. He's like, "One last shot." To manipulate you again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And here's the thing with being in a relationship with a narcissist or a manipulator or a psychological abuser. Mm-hmm. They will absolutely convince you that you are the problem.
Yeah.
While at the same time betray you over and over and over and over again, and then persuade you that like, "I'm never gonna do it again. I love you so much, but I'm doing it because you're the problem and you need to work on yourself and you need to change these things and you need to grow." And they also simultaneously will parasitically just suck the life out of you. Yeah. And like, they will make you work on yourself so that you can add more and you can be, you know, a better person and have more sunshine and more loyalty and more love and better companionship, better friendship. Like, let me just be the best version of myself so that you can suck it all out of me and give me essentially nothing back and continue to betray me. It's this cycle. It's this parasitic cycle. And like, the best thing about him was always me. It was never a deficiency with me. It was always a deficiency with him. There was always something missing in him. It was never a me problem. And I am not sitting here saying that I am perfect by any means. I absolutely honor the work that I did on myself and that I'll always continue to do on myself. I'm not perfect. I made mistakes. But he did not cheat on me with hundreds of women because there's something wrong with me.
No.
But that's what he will convince every next partner that he's with of.
Yeah.
Because that's who he is and he can't look at himself. Mm-hmm. So anyone that is in a relationship like this, I understand that it is virtually impossible to detect when you're in it. It's really hard because you're being manipulated and you're being gaslit and you're in this really toxic cycle. But when you do finally realize it, block them, run, and don't look back. And I promise you, they will crumble. They will crumble in your wake. There will be nothing left of value. Like, and you will see it as soon as you're out and you're out of the brainwash cycle. You'll see it. I saw it so fast.
Gave me chills. Damn.
Going on a little monologue there.
It reminds me of how he would always try to tear you down.
Oh, constantly.
Because he was jealous or didn't let, he could kind of see you, that you were the better part of him and that you were out of his league, all these things. So he would constantly be undermining you, not be only so supportive, but not supportive enough. Like, yeah, just tearing you down.
Constantly. Mm-hmm. Constantly. If he never wanted me to get so high to where he, like, I would feel so good about myself that I would leave him. Yeah. So he had to keep me in this box and keep me feeling slightly insecure at all times so that I would stay, so that I wouldn't feel empowered enough to leave. Like, just an example of this was, like, maybe a year before we broke up, we were going to a lot of stand-up comedy shows, and I was having this feeling like, gosh, I would love to try that someday. Yeah. Like, I think I could really rock that. And I said it to him one time in the car after, like, it was very vulnerable of me to say, like, what a wild thing to say. I think I could be really good at stand-up comedy. I want to try it someday. And his reaction was just so negative, like, unsupportive, just like, I don't know, whatever, blasé, just really didn't have anything positive to say about it. And I was like, you just don't know how to, like, uplift another human being. You just really don't. And especially not me, because you can't, because you'll lose me.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I really step into my true potential, there's no way I would stay with you.
No.
You have nothing to offer me. Sorry. At the end of the day, he didn't. At the end of the day, he didn't. Mm-hmm. And, like, I feel like everybody kind of knew it.
If you met him now and, like, you had no idea who he was, like, all of these different things, like, you would not.
No. No. Yeah. I wouldn't.
Yeah.
The person that was with him for 10 years is dead. I'm just not. I'm
the old
not
Rachel
that,
can't come to the phone right now.
She's dead, dude. She's dead. I shot her and she's dead.
Yeah, I shot her, she's dead.
So anyway, where were we? Yeah, that was a long monologue about manipulation.
Yeah. It's good though.
Yep.
So, Rachel Wolford Anti-Manipulation Bootcamp.
Yeah, seriously. Join. It's free. He says in this part of the letter, there's no denying that I have been unfaithful by having other relationships with women. There's one part that I need you to remember. Despite those terrible actions of mine, I have always been 100% loyal to you.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
Oh my God, you absolutely just contradicted yourself.
That is a logical fallacy.
That's not loyalty. Being unfaithful is,
I know I've cheated on you, but disloyal. I've always been loyal.
What are you talking about? This is his delusional brain.
No, that's just funny.
It's so funny. It's so funny because it's so dumb.
Talk about traumedy.
It's just so dumb. And then he goes on to say, loyalty is so important in my book, and I know I have been that for you. And at the end of the day, please remember that I will always be there for you when you needed me, and I hope to be that forever. Because in the middle of that, he's talking about, like, oh, like, when you needed me, I was there for you and things like that. And sure, yeah. He was.
Yeah.
But that doesn't disregard him sleeping with other women and having another girlfriend at the same time as me.
Yeah.
That's not loyal.
That's not, I was always there for you.
No.
Except for all of the times I was with my other girlfriend.
Correct. That's you keeping up appearances and keeping up your facade.
Yeah.
Like, so that I wouldn't be suspicious. Mm-hmm. Come on, bro. Oh, also something to know at this time, as he was writing me this letter, he apparently also dropped off letters for my parents at my house. Did I tell you this? He left letters for them in the mailbox that disgusted them and pissed them off so royally that they didn't even tell me at the time. So then one of the craziest things that he puts in here that is just so ridiculous, it's comedy. I have always, fun fact about me, I am a big, big dog person. Since I was little, I always wanted a dog. Mm-hmm. And I asked for one every year for Christmas. And every year my parents said no. And one year they, instead of getting me a dog, they got me a dog encyclopedia, mm-hmm. which is kind of
not as good, but you can read about the dogs you can never have.
That's exactly what I did. I read about every single dog that I couldn't have. And so I'm really good at identifying dog breeds. It's like my secret superpower. But for many years, I really wanted what's called a Nova Scotia duck tolling retriever. Mm-hmm. They're bred to be like show dogs, really. So a lot of people don't have them. But they're like a red golden retriever and they're smaller than a golden retriever. But I always really wanted one and he knew that.
Mm-hmm.
So he writes here, like I mentioned before, I'm getting an R tattoo on my body, not just because I love you, but also to remind myself of the terrible mistakes, of my terrible mistakes and how much I have lost. The other thing I've already decided on getting is a dog of my own. It will be a Nova Scotia duck tolling retriever and I will name it Riff. My nickname with my family is Riffy. I felt like it rolls off the tongue and is a good dog name.
Good luck on getting that.
It's just a manipulation tactic.
Just like, oh, I know your favorite dog.
I'm gonna, yeah. Remember that? Remember, I know your favorite dog and I know your nickname. I'm gonna name my dog after you.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get the dog that you want and I'm gonna name it after you.
I'm gonna put a tattoo of you in my body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So just try your hardest not to be with me anymore.
That letter just was try. Like every single manipulation tactic rolled into one.
Yeah.
Of like, I'm gonna put you down. I'm gonna remind you of all of these different things.
While telling you that I love you at the same time, uh-huh, and I'm forever devoted to you. I'm so loyal.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get an R tattoo.
And you just laughed at it and yelled and we drank champagne and then did we burn it?
No, people spit on it. And then she said casually, and then I ripped it to shreds and put it in the trash. We just have pictures of it now.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm reading here.
Uh-huh.
That's the gist of the crazy. I mean, the whole letter is psychotic, but those are my favorite parts. Mm-hmm. Those are my highlights. Yeah. So yeah, we had a good time that night. And yeah, I ended up hooking up with someone that night who then later became my boyfriend.
Mm.
And we'll have to just talk about that for sure at another time. But yeah, he became my boyfriend for a couple months and that was also a train wreck.
But it was kind of nice and poetic to be like, on my wedding night.
On my wedding night, I am with somebody who, yeah, has been wanting to get with me for years, who I also think is extremely fine.
Trails off.
And end scene. We'll talk about that in more detail for sure at some point.
Uh-huh.
After that, Megan and I go on my honeymoon.
Yeah.
So we leave for my honeymoon. Well, actually, the next morning he comes to the house and sees that your car is there.
Oh, yeah.
He freaks out. He looks in my car. He sends me this really passive aggressive voice memo to which I respond. And I'm like, yeah, Megan's actually staying here because I have a lot of family that actually is in town because their plane tickets were non-refundable for the wedding that they were supposed to be here for this period of time.
Yes.
And I actually didn't want to stay at my parents' house and have to deal with all of that. So thank you, but no thank you for your brute hostility right now. Like, this is all your fault. I'm allowed to be sleeping here if I want to with my cousin. Thank you so much.
Remember when he was saying he was still going to come on the honeymoon?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was convinced he was going to come on the honeymoon the day I broke up with him. He still was trying for a while and we were trying to transfer his ticket to you and he was being pretty uncooperative. So at a certain point, and I booked all of the things for the honeymoon.
Yeah.
I did the research. I booked the hotels. Like, so all of that was fine and dandy. I didn't have to, you know, work with him on any of that. Yeah. Megan just bought her plane ticket and we just hopped off to Europe and had a great time.
Fucking cousin moon,
which I think we also should just devote an episode to because we had a lot of adventures. There's made a lot of friends.
Cousin moon was when we first started kind of like hinting that I was also single.
Mm-hmm.
But I had not made an Instagram announcement yet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Actually, the idea for a podcast was born in Milan on Cousin Moon. I should dig up that video because we posted it on my Instagram story and we took a poll and we were like, should we start a podcast?
Oh my gosh, we should.
Yeah. Ooh, I'm going to dig it up.
Deep lore.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that is
deep lore. That was the first time we considered like, wait, we'd actually crush it at a podcast.
Yeah.
And now here we are less than a year later. So yeah, we go on my honeymoon, and during that time he calls me mm-hmm. because we got our first offer on the house, which was an incredible offer, and he is like, I don't know if we should take it because I don't know if we should actually sell the house. And
you just had to manipulate him.
I pulled you into the room with me while I was on the phone with him, because yeah. I was like, literally listen to this craziness, yeah, and I'm going to manipulate him right yes. now.
You were like, let's just sell the house and then figure it out from there.
Yeah, we need a clean slate.
His words, because he kept saying when you guys were trying, like back in the day when you caught him having affairs,
when we were
he
together.
Was like, I just want a clean slate. I want a clean slate. Uh-huh. So you were like, let's sell the house, get a clean slate.
Exactly.
And then take it from there. And I was just looking at you and I was like,
it just in awe.
I was like,
yeah. I had
the manipulating has become the manipulator.
Pretty much. Like, I learned from the best.
Yeah.
I learned from the best. I used his own tricks against
him. But honestly, for a good cause.
I had to. Like, yeah. Honestly, it was survival at that point. I was literally just trying to get out and get away from him.
Totally.
And
you needed to sell the house.
The way that he works is through manipulation.
Yes.
That's the only way. And so, yeah, when I would find out something else or whatever, and he was trying to avoid telling me, back when we were together, he would just be like, I want a clean slate. I don't want to talk about this. I want a clean slate. I'm like, we can't have a clean slate if it's still just dirty from whatever I don't know about.
Yeah, you have to actually clean it.
My God. So yeah, I said, we just need a clean slate. We need to sell this house and then we'll see what happens after that. But like,
yeah,
we can't just keep paying a mortgage on a house that we're not living in, blah, blah, blah. We got an all cash offer, which is like unheard of. Yeah. And he was like debating taking it. That's not the offer that ended up going through. But yeah. So that was when I heard from him in Europe. And then then I get home. And
what happened?
Oh, you don't remember? So I'm home for only a couple days. And I go to the beach with my friend Nate.
Oh, yeah.
And it was weird because I had this feeling like I was going to see him. I just had this feeling like I was going to run into him. And I pull up and sure enough, there is his car parked at the beach. And I'm like, oh, let's see who he's with. I bet you it's a chick. Uh-huh. And so I get there and I see him across the beach and he is 100% with a girl mm-hmm. as he's, you know, still trying to convince me that I'm going to be his wife and all this stuff. And I didn't care. Like I thought it was hilarious, but Nate arrived and I was like, we're going to do a walk by because I just want him to know that I see him.
Yeah.
Because again, he's still lying about, oh, the girl that I brought to the house was my other friend's girlfriend and whatever. So Nate and I do a walk by and he sees me and I'm laughing as we're walking away because mm-hmm. I'm just like, this is just so funny. I just ran into you on a date at the beach, right? And so then I get an email from him the next day. Hey, it was nice to see you yesterday. It did make me smile because I miss you and haven't seen you in a while. Yeah. You weren't smiling, buddy.
I'm so sure.
Yeah, you weren't smiling. You were just shitting your pants. For the record, it made me a little bummed out for her because I knew what you were doing with that wave and laugh. Her name is blank. I have told you about her a few times. She's my lesbian friend from work. She actually gets married in 2 weeks. And yeah, she's really self-conscious with her weight. So it bummed me out when you were laughing. I was like,
excuse me.
How dare you?
Yeah.
How dare you?
Call you a homophobic fat shaming person?
Thank you.
What?
I would never.
No.
Are you insane?
It's this chick he met on Hinge and he's like, that's my lesbian coworker and you need to stop making fun of her weight. Like,
You think I'm laughing about her weight?
No.
You clearly are having thoughts about her weight then.
He's probably overcompensating. Like,
that's why he put that in there, because he's thinking about her weight. That never even crossed my mind.
No, I'm sure you never even thought about it.
Right. She's an innocent bystander in this situation. Yeah. Like, I feel nothing for the girl, except like I'm sad that she doesn't know who this person is that she's sitting here with.
And he's like, you were making fun of her weight.
Right.
No, clearly you're insecure about that. And that was a girl that you met on Tinder. And the audacity to just like compose this email and send it to you. And
send it to me.
And just still
make
lie.
Up a lie.
Weird
I am
lies.
Not asking for this information.
No.
I'm not asking for it. I don't care. Go date. Go do what you need.
Yeah.
Just stop then sending me lies after I get you in it.
Yeah.
Stop sending me lies. Please, for the love of God. Anyway, I wish you would have come over to meet her. I talk to her like every day, and most of the time it's about you. Anyway, it was nice to see you.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
And I hope Nate is doing well too. Other than that, I plan on getting a U-Haul so I can take the dressers and all those back to my house. I didn't know this beforehand, but apparently those dressers and the long dresser all belong to my grandma, and my mom really wants them back for sentimental reasons. He knew that. Like, what are you?
Okay.
We absolutely talked about that. I just wanted to update you on those. Your mom still emails me about the house offers and all that, so all's good. I appreciate your mom, and I'm thankful for her efforts. Like,
okay.
Again, I don't respond to any of this crap. Yep. The only thing that I respond to him is stuff about the house.
Right, right.
So then it's like 4 days later, I go back to the same beach. This time I'm by myself. I'm just going there. I actually think I was going there to start try to write the stand-up comedy set about him. Actually, yeah. It was. I pull up. I see his car there again. And I'm like, who's he with this time? It's just like a fun little game now.
A different lesbian coworker.
Yeah. Oh, who's this? Is this your neighbor's plumber's girlfriend's friend? Like, therapist? Like, what?
Oh my God.
My guy. So I walk up, and this time, oh, it was so perfect. It was so perfect. It was a different girl. He is standing up with her by the water, and they have their backs to me, and I'm just standing there behind them. I'm just standing there behind them waiting for him to turn around. I'm just looking with a big old smile on my face. Just happy as a clam. And it's so perfect.
Can you tell it's a different girl at this point?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Different girl. Can absolutely tell it's a different girl. And I am giddy. And they turn around, and Megan, he grabs her hand as he turns around with her. And so they're holding hands and walking as he turns to face me. And I just give him this big old grin and a big old wave. And he waves to me, like, really awkward. And then I turn around and I walk away laughing. I'm like, wonder what he's going to tell her about who I am. And I go and sit down across the beach, and I watch him. They go back to their towels, and she lays down, and she's on her phone, laying on her stomach, and he's standing up behind her. Uh-huh. He's just standing up behind her, looking out at the ocean, like,
fuck,
trying to get space so that he doesn't have to, like, speak to her right at that moment.
Yes. Yeah.
So that he can come up with some sort of lie and compose himself from what just happened. Because now he's like, oh, shit, what am I going to tell her now? Uh-huh. She just saw me holding her hand.
Did he send you an email?
No, he didn't have the audacity to say anything to me about that. But it was a couple days later.
I don't even know what he would have said.
I don't know. He did. I was just waiting.
That was my cousin.
Yeah. We're really close. You've just never heard of her or met her in 10 years. Thank God. Yeah, so then it was a few days later. He is talking to me about this house stuff. And I'm responding because I have to. And then he tells me that he ran in. Oh, no. Then he goes, I know you hate me and never want to see me, but please just include me on the house stuff. Once it's done, then you'll never have to see me again. And I was like, my mom's been including you on everything.
Yeah.
And then he says that he ran into my cousin at work that day. After I left her, I had to go sit in the car alone because I really broke down. And literally that day, I was like, oh, they don't actually know the full story of what happened. I'm actually just going to go over to their house and tell them. So I texted them, and I was like, what are you guys doing for dinner tomorrow?
Yeah.
So then I went over and told them, because I was like, she doesn't actually know what the hell happened, and she's running into him, and
that's
she needs
not
to know.
Work. Yeah. Yeah.
Then he just continues to text me. I need you. Can we please go for a walk and talk this week? Mm-hmm. All this random stuff I'm getting from him constantly. He's commenting on my work account posts.
Ooh, I forgot about that.
So
the work account posts.
Yeah. And so then I had to remove him as a follower there. Mm-hmm. He has his brother text me out of nowhere.
Ooh.
Hi, sweetie. I miss you.
Yeah.
Which is insanely manipulative and gross. And then this is my favorite part. This is my favorite part.
Okay.
If you asked me what my favorite part is of all of this.
Yeah. What's your favorite part of all of this drama?
Megan, I'm so glad you asked. This is hands down my favorite part.
Uh-huh.
So thus far, we've been splitting all the payments 50-50. And when we were actually living together and in a relationship, I was paying for the gas and electric bill. Mm-hmm. And he was paying for the water and trash. He mm-hmm. was taking care of those things and I was taking care of gas and electric. And when we broke up, I said, do you want to just keep paying those bills? I'll keep paying the gas and electric because they're about even.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, sure, that's fine. I get a rant. Around this time, he was starting to get pissed because I wasn't including him in every little thing. Like, oh, the appraiser came over today. Like, the plumber's coming next week. Like, he was starting to get annoyed that, like, I wasn't just updating him on every single move. It wasn't necessary. I was trying to talk with him as little as possible. So I get a random Venmo request from him for $32.48 for the water bill. And I'm like, what the hell? And so I respond and I was like, I was under the impression that you were paying for water and trash and I was paying for gas and electric.
Yeah.
If you've changed your mind, let me know and I'll start charging you for half of gas and electric.
Yeah.
He responds and goes, you don't tell me anything. You said you would start telling me everything in regards to the house. Apparently you met with a plumber and whatnot, but I wasn't told any of this. And here's the best line. I don't understand why you hate me so much.
There's so much.
I don't. To jump.
You didn't tell me there was a plumber. I don't know.
I don't understand why you hate me so much. I'm sorry. Did your brain fall out of your head? How have you not gotten it figured out by now?
Yeah.
Maybe it's sleeping with your coworker, having another girlfriend for 4 years, having a bunch of virtual affairs, lying to me constantly, gaslighting me, manipulating me. Like, what?
I don't understand why you hate me.
You hate me. You don't tell me anything. Why do you hate me so much? You owe me $32.48.
The Venmo
because
request
I'm
for
petty.
$32.
It's like just.
You could have requested the thousands of dollars he made on the house because of you.
Amen, dude.
Like, oh my
Amen.
God.
Amen. Yeah.
Don't
so I respond.
Why you hate me.
I know. I respond very. It took everything in me not to just light his ass on fire for that line in this moment. Like, I had to seriously restrain myself. But again, all I am responding to when he messages me is about the house. So I respond and I'm like, these are all the details about the house. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really not sexy. It's not exciting. Like, I'm just getting it done. My mom and I are getting it done so we can sell this and, like, whatever. And so then after that, he responds with another temper tantrum. This will be the last you hear from me then. I will speak to your mom on the house. And when that is over, then everything will be over. Best of luck with everything in life. I am so sorry and you have no idea how much I regret it all. I wish you could give us another chance because I know we would be so happy and you would love being with the new version of me. I apologize so much for the pain and embarrassment I put you through. Give Olive a hug for me, my dog. I will love you forever, Rachel Wilford. Forever and always.
Oh my gosh. If only that was the last you've heard from him.
If only it was. No, it continues. It's just a lot of craziness. He tries to act like he's a saint and offer me the bed frame because he bought it. So it was his to take, but it was a bitch to put together. And so I didn't want any part of it at all. Yeah. But he texts me and he's like, I'd like to gift you the bed frame. And I was like, no, thank you. He just didn't want to have to deal with
it. Out of the goodness of my heart.
There was another thing that he like went and he put these tags on this cross in Laguna Beach in front of this church. It's like prayers.
Yeah.
He sends this to me at like, really early in the morning, apparently. He wrote on this tag and sends me a picture of it. I pray for Rachel Wilford to find peace and happiness. I love her with all my heart and miss her so much. Please her. Please her. Lord, please her. Like, what in the world?
This is really weird and sexual sounding.
It's creepy.
I'm just gonna say it.
It's creepy.
Please her.
Please her. Please her. Just like I've been pleasing all these other women. So Then about a week before the house closes, I'm like antsy. I'm so eager to get out of this situation. Yeah. I got another apartment by then and I was like starting to move into it. I was so pumped. He has the audacity to text me and ask, how much money do you think we will each get? Like, and throws out a figure.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you think I want to talk to you about this? You think I'm happy you're getting this much money off
no,
of me?
No.
Oh my God. So finally I move out and the house closes. He's got all his stuff and I'm able to block him everywhere. But before I do, what I have been working on for 2.5 months is the best thing I've ever written. Truly. It is a beast of an email, but I had been workshopping it for 2.5 months, putting in every single possible thing that I
just kept calling it the email.
Uh-huh.
The email.
The email.
Yeah.
Every single last thing I wanted to say to him before I would never speak to him again. And I send it the day after the house closes because it's the last thing that I'll ever say to him. Mm-hmm. And then I block him everywhere. But I start out with, I say, this is the last thing I will ever write to you or for you. And these are all the reasons why. And I list out every single detail of every single infidelity and every single betrayal over 10 years. Mm-hmm. And then I go into a whole paragraph basically exploiting all of his deepest, darkest insecurities and things that I know about him and I wish bad things for him. And then the last thing that I said, I just want to read this part because it's just visionary, kind of what we're doing now. I said in the beginning of this email that this would be the last thing I ever write to you or for you, but it's not the last thing I'll ever write about you. Now, I promise you this, a time is coming where you will see my name everywhere you go. You won't be able to escape me. It'll be in light somewhere, on a billboard, a social media ad, a best-selling book at Barnes & Noble, a podcast promotion, a Netflix stand-up comedy special. Hell, my face will be on a goddamn lunchbox in Target. Your mistakes have become a Target! Oh my God, we love Target. Your mistakes have become a treasure trove of content for me, and I'm going to profit off them in a big way. I'm making it my mission to tell the world this story, the truth, not whatever crap you said you were going to write in your bullshit letter. Because he said he was going to write a book about our relationship and in the letter he wrote me. Oh my God. We all know your version would just be riddled with lies and grammatical errors anyway. No, I'm going to tell the world every little thing you did because here's the thing about me, babe. I don't get sad. I get even. Buckle up because I'm going to squeeze every last drop of rancid juice from the rotten lemons you force-fed me and turn them into lemonade money. You fucked over the wrong bitch way too many times for way too many years. If you ever see me around, run. Forever and always, like he always ended his emails, the best thing you'll never have again.
Ooh. Ooh.
And obviously, like, I'm not in that frame of mind anymore of, like, vengeance. Truly, truly, I'm not. Actually, I have ick difference for him, like to say. It's indifference, but stronger because I have the ick for him.
Yeah.
It's
ick
difference.
Did you make that up?
I kind of think I did. I've never heard it used anywhere before, but you heard it here first? Ick difference.
Just jinx.
Get on board.
Ick difference.
Yeah, that's how you know that you're truly over it is when you've got the ick difference.
Uh-huh.
That's what I absolutely have for him. And I got there pretty fast. When I sent this email, I had so much pent up crap that I had been storing for 2.5 months that I wasn't there for that. And then I blocked him and I never had to hear from him again. But the problem is you can't block an email. It just goes to your junk.
Yeah.
So I was still receiving emails from him and I didn't check my junk for a couple months. And they delete automatically after 30 days. So I didn't see any that he sent me in September or October. The first one I saw was November. But during that time, then it was like a couple days after I sent that email, we went axe throwing and we used the heads from my bachelorette party that you guys printed out of his head to decorate our place. We used them as targets. Mm-hmm. And that was awesome. All my friends came and we just threw axes at his head and it was fantastic. And yeah, after that, it's just some crazy emails. On November 2nd, can we go for a walk to talk, please? On Christmas Day at 1 a.m, he says, hi, Merry Christmas. It's crazy how it has been 11 years since I first came across you on Facebook. It feels like a whole lifetime ago. This Christmas... Sorry, I just...
Got the ick?
Yeah.
You just got the ick real bad. I saw it happen.
This Christmas, I just really hope you're okay. That's all I want from Santa. Sorry. Can't even get through this. I hurt you so badly, and I will never be able to help you heal or fix any of my past transgressions. However, I just really hope you're happy, successful, and enjoying life. I miss you every single day, and all I do is think about you. I miss our little family so much.
He keeps bringing in Olive just to...
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, he loved that dog more than me, honestly. Yeah. He never betrayed Olive.
No.
And then at the end of January, he says, if you could find it in your heart, I would really like to go for a walk with you this week to talk. I have some important things to say. And what's interesting is around this time, a very close person in my life who I'm not going to... say who it is to keep this whole dynamic anonymous. This person has, they discovered that they have a tie with him. Mm-hmm. And so they started to have to be around him a lot and interact with him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And they told me in January that he has been telling people that I cheated and that's the reason why we broke up.
Despicable.
And it was...
next level.
Oh, it's unreal.
And emailing you at the same time, still being like, please, can we talk?
Correct.
And then telling everyone else in his life, oh, she cheated on me.
Yeah, she cheated on me. I'm so distraught. I can't, like, we broke up. But at the same time, he's emailing me to get together and talk. And, like, he misses me.
That's...
it's crazy.
No words.
It's just, it's so bad. And at the same time, it was a couple weeks before I found that out, we decided that we were going to do this podcast. Mm-hmm. And so, and I was like grappling with, okay, you know, am I going to do something bad by talking about this? And I was, after finding that out, I was like, oh, he hasn't changed.
Yeah.
Oh, he hasn't changed at all.
Yeah.
Now he's out here telling people I cheated. No.
No. Thelonious.
No. I just, nope.
That was a revolutionary discovery.
It really was.
Yeah.
He's going around saying this crap. So, like, kind of, and I don't think anybody believes it, honestly. Like,
yeah.
I don't feel the need to necessarily clear my name because there's literally no merit to what he's saying. It's obviously not true. And anyone that knows my character and knows his character, like, it shines through.
Yeah.
But at the same time, throwing it out there for the record, like I didn't happen. The most recent thing that happened was my first friend had a run-in with him in 8 months. What's kind of crazy is I haven't run into him.
Yeah.
And now it's been like 9 months. It's honestly just
since you sent the email.
Since I sent the email, I haven't seen him. I haven't run into him. And it's honestly just God protecting me. I know that for sure. But yeah, one of my good friends ran into him literally while we were recording our first episode, and I was talking all about it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my friend Alicia ran into him on a date.
Uh-huh.
The latest is...
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the very last thing is he has this friend in Utah that I think I can say his name. He wants to be a guest on the podcast, honestly. His name's Connor and his wife's name is Courtney. Shout out. They, when this all went down and we didn't get married, they reached out to me and they were like, yo, what happened? On our mm-hmm. wedding day, they reached out. And I was like, he cheated on me a shit ton and I left him. And they were like, that's insane. He is telling us a completely different story that your parents hated him. And so that's why you guys didn't get married. They're like, we literally didn't even find out until this week. So we are here for your wedding with our four children.
Oh, my God.
He didn't tell us that the wedding was off. With their four children. Their family of six.
Oh, no.
Flew here.
Oh, my gosh.
And I heard also from other people in his life that he told them when they asked him, like, so are you going to tell people that the wedding's off? He said, no, that's Rachel's job.
You were supposed to reach out to all of his family and friends. I was supposed
to reach out to his family and friends, apparently, oh, wow. and tell them.
Wow.
Yeah. No, honey. Mm-mm. No. So since then, and I also want to make it so clear, I have never asked anyone to drop him or take sides or anything like that. Never once have I asked anyone to do that. Mm-hmm. If people are still friends with him, like, more power to you. Honestly, everybody needs somebody. Mm-hmm. So, like, seriously, do whatever you feel is necessary. However, Connor and Courtney, after finding out tiny details about what happened, they decided that they did not want to associate with him anymore, and they kind of adopted me. I really didn't know them well at the time, but Connor is one of the people that I flew out for the Catalina birthday trip that uh-huh. I planned.
Catalina Catalyst.
Right. And so Catalina Catalyst. And so he obviously, you know, knows my character and knows the kind of person that I am. And so they, like, essentially chose me, even though mm-hmm. I didn't ask them to do that. And so during this time, you know, they've been a fan of mine and just kind of following along on my adventures and whatever. And we talk from time to time. I haven't seen them. But Courtney reached out to me recently. This was within the last month. She's like, dude, we just got a video from him. It's like a 3-minute long video that she sent me, wherein he is upset because Connor has basically told him, I don't want to associate with you anymore because yeah. I can't trust you. And yeah. You're lying not only to everyone, but also to yourself. And my ex talks about in this video how I never own up to anything. He's like, Rachel never owns up to anything, while he's actively not owning up to anything, which is so ironic. Mm-hmm. And he says in it, he's like, it's not as simple as I just cheated on her. That other girl was my girlfriend for a while.
That other girl was my girlfriend. That is, like, the first time he has admitted.
That is the first time he has said that she was his actual girlfriend.
That he was dating you and this other girl.
Yes. It's like, bro, that doesn't make it any better. You had two at the same time.
Yeah.
What do you think that's going to magically make it better?
No. No.
No. You had two.
She was my girlfriend.
it's absolutely unbelievable. So yeah, he's, you know, running his mouth to whoever, saying that I'm just can't be just
yeah,
whatever. I don't even know what to even say anymore to that. It just is what it is. It just is another just proof that, no, we are still here 9 months later and you still are not owning what you did. You don't get it. You still don't get it. And it's sad because it's like, if he could actually just own it and be like, I messed up royally. Like, I have a problem. I'm getting right. help. I messed up so bad. I hurt a person so bad. I absolutely destroyed a person's mental health. I ruined my life and I tried really hard to ruin hers. Like, I messed up and I take accountability and I take ownership of that. People would actually respect him at least a little bit.
For sure.
At yeah. least a little bit.
Yeah.
But he's never once done that.
Yeah.
I know he's had conversations with several people that I also still associate with. And
yeah.
he has never once owned up to any of it.
Yeah.
And so nobody can respect him and nobody trusts him. And therefore, it's like, you're just going to wind up alone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't have to do any... If there's any sort of... You know, anyone thinks I'm like doing this to get back at him or destroy his life or anything like that. Like, I am absolutely 100% not. And I honestly don't have to. He can ruin his own life all by himself.
Yeah.
And he is. I don't have to do any of that. This is not about him. It's just, it's what happened to me. And it's the person that I dealt with for 10 years. And I sometimes still kind of deal with. And honestly, he should really just stop at this point because it's just giving me more content to just talk about. That's all it is at this point. Yeah. It's just a story. It's just a good story.
Yeah.
That's it.
If you could say anything to someone who is maybe in a similar situation that you were in, or to try to tie a bow on it in some way, or like lessons learned, what would you say to someone who is in a relationship where they feel trapped? where they feel like it's, this is the best it's going to get, and they don't know how to get out, and they're like manipulated.
The bond that you think is so strong and that you cannot replicate with another person, it's not an actually genuine, worthwhile bond to even have. It is a toxic bond. This person is using you, abusing you, manipulating you for their own benefit and their own gain. And it's a roller coaster. And what I would say is you're going to figure it out on your own time. And it might take time. I hope, you know, if you're listening to this, that this resonates and like maybe it shortens your journey with that person. But you're going to know, and you know that it's time to go. And what's on the other side is you and regaining you and rediscovering yourself and all these parts of you that you've put away for so long and that you have shoved down for sake of keeping this other person happy and comfortable and there. And there are so many people that you haven't met yet that are going to love you so much, and they're going to love you so much better and so much more deeply and in so much more of a fulfilling way. And it's so scary to blow up your life and to like just extricate yourself from a life with somebody and know that you can never see them, never talk to them again. But once you do, you're going to be so clear-headed and so happy, and there's going to be so much like good and sunshine that comes from it that you just can't see it yet, but it's there on the other side of it. And so I would just say take the leap. Like, I really would just say take the leap, because life's too short. Life's too short. And now we're both crying.
I just think about both of us taking a leap at the same time, and also being best friends our whole lives. But the way that you and I have trauma bonded, but leaned on each other through this time and developed this even deeper friendship that it almost just goes beyond
it does.
Time and reason. That would not have been the case if you hadn't gotten out, or honestly, probably if I hadn't either. And I had a very different situation. It was not at all like yours, but
yeah,
there's just so much more.
There's so much more.
And it can be so much better, even though it's so scary.
It is so scary. And like, you feel like you're just free falling into nothing, because like, it's a completely blank slate.
Yeah.
Like,
talk about blank slate.
It was so scary.
Yeah.
But it was so liberating, because at the same time, like, once you actually lean into it, it's like, oh, this is a blank slate. That's not bad. That means I can rewrite the rest of my life. I can do whatever the hell I want. I can do what I want. I can do whatever I want.
I'm getting chills even thinking, like, it's fucking amazing.
It is.
It's scary and it's amazing.
Go to Singapore on a whim. I don't have to ask anybody.
No.
You know, like, I can go out. I can stay in. I can start a podcast. I can do whatever the hell I want. We absolutely rewrote our lives.
Mm-hmm.
We did.
And when we thought it was going to go one direction.
Mm-hmm.
Our entire lives.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since I was a teenager, ever since you were a teenager, it was like, this is how our life's gonna go.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the same time being like, it's so different a year now than it was a year ago. And we keep saying like, a year from now, what the fuck are our lives gonna look like at that point?
Mm-hmm.
Because things change really fast.
Really fast. Really fast.
But it's amazing.
No, it is. And we are so much, when I say like that person I was before is dead, I really mean it. And I feel like you probably feel the same. Like, we just are not the same people that we were a year ago, 6 months ago. Like, we changed and grew so rapidly. It was crazy. Like, to the point where just some people couldn't keep up.
Yeah.
They just really couldn't.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just part of it. But like, it's crazy, but I actually wouldn't change any of it. I would do it all the same, because I like
change
where I'm
any
at
of it
now.
Of, as in like the last 10 years?
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Because I don't know where I would be if I could, yeah. You know, I think in a twisted and like messed up way, how it turned out is beautiful. I feel sad for the me that went through all of that. Like I grieve that time and that pain, and like, but I think that's why I lean so hard into life now, because I'm like, it wasn't for nothing. It's not a waste. Like I am going to make something of this. I am going to turn this into something good. I'm going to redeem this. There is purpose in this pain. I can't fathom that not being the reality. It has to.
I feel like you and I are so much more aware of our life choices now.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up so young, choosing your partner at the time, and now having agency as a 28-year-old and 30-year-old woman of like, no, we've done all of that. Like now I can really make deliberate choices mm-hmm. in what I want my life to look like,
yeah.
who I want to spend my life with, who I want to be friends with, how I want to spend my own money. Like mm-hmm. it's having no kids, no partner, mm-hmm. starting over. So scary, but it's just liberating. Like,
it is. It's yeah. like dating now, and actually like, I don't like that quality in that person, so I'm not going to continue pursuing this.
Incredible.
What in the world? Like we never did that.
No. The way that
to some people listening, they're like, what? But like, we're doing this for the first time.
Yeah.
We picked people at 16 and 17 and we're just like, this is the one. And yeah, there were things about them that we didn't for like. Sure. But and as with any relationship, nobody's perfect. But like, no, we can really be selective about who we want to be with and who we want to be.
Because we also know I have such a better sense of myself now than I ever have in my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a better idea of what I bring to the table. And
same.
I need someone to match that
mm-hmm.
and to also bring something. Mm-hmm. And I also, and we'll talk a lot more about this later in mm-hmm. episodes, but the way that you and I, like you go through a breakup and I feel like I learned from, I also did
mm-hmm.
just by association.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. You learned a ton of from my last breakup. Like, as did I.
Gosh, when you date Rachel, sometimes you kind of just
we're
kidding.
A package
just
deal, ladies and gentlemen. And
like, not really, but also kind of, cause we're learning these things together. So mm-hmm. when we talk about like you and I learning what anxious attachment style means together.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. When I fully deep dove avoidant versus anxious attachment styles, because my last boyfriend was hopeless avoidant.
Yeah.
And it was crazy making. It was like I then educated you on the whole yes. subject.
And now
you
I know.
Yeah.
And now I'm dating and I'm like, oh, I'm expressing anxious avoidant attachment style because Rachel, like the way that we're learning so fast.
Yeah.
Because we're learning from each other's and we learn from each other's therapists.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope to share some yes, of our therapist gold. Like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think we have, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, all of
we
this.
We probably
I
have already.
Mm-hmm. I think we might have some segments at some points to be like.
Yeah. Therapy corner.
Yeah.
Or what did. What
trickle down therapy.
Trickle down therapy. Yeah. Explain what that means.
Just the me giving the benefit of the therapy that I'm paying for every mm-hmm. week by being like, my therapist said this week mm-hmm. and it just shook me. And the more when you get friends together who all have therapy and we all talk about the ways that we like mm-hmm. process our traumas and learn and grow, it's like you just all, it's this mind hive of then you just all get better
mm-hmm.
and smarter. And
everyone's just spitting bars just left and right. This is wisdom bars.
I fucking love talking about therapy.
Same.
If you and I didn't go to, I mean, shout out to therapy. I would not be where I am. You wouldn't be where you
are. Honestly, we're surrounded by friends who also go to therapy.
Yeah.
Which is awesome too.
Yeah. It's such a green flag for me if I'm dating yeah. and they're like, I go to therapy. I'm like, oh, thank God.
Totally. 100%.
Like,
well,
we can go on.
We honestly can. And I feel like people know that we can just talk and talk and talk. But I think to wrap it, yeah, that is the end of my story on the wolf and my mm-hmm. 10-year relationship. There will probably still be things that will just keep going down that we might just throw in here from time to time as like, oh, this is a fun update for you.
Yeah.
Current events. But next, I think we need to go into your stuff and you need an episode. And so I think we're going to give Megan a turn to talk next time.
Yeah. After I talk and share a little bit about my story, we're just going to have fun.
Yeah. Then we're going to have fun and we're going to have guests and we're going to do stupid stuff. We're going to roast each other.
Ooh. That's the segment I'm worried about.
Not because she's scared, like, I'm going to hurt her feelings, but because she's scared she's not going to be able to roast me as good.
It's just going to be constantly, like, in what ways is Rachel slightly funnier than Megan?
No way, dude.
Because I exist to make you funny.
No, you don't. You are funny in your own right.
Thank you.
You are. You're also funny looking in your own right.
Hey, say that to my new jawline.
I was just going to say, you got less funny looking today.
Speak to the jaw.
Speak to my one single chin.
On that note.
Thanks for listening to another Traumedy Show episode. We love ya.
Please rate only if you have good things to say.
Oh yeah. Rate, review, subscribe.
All that.
Don't leave any bad comments. That'll make us sad. Megan's a crier. She will curl up in the fetal position and just cry and give up. So please. Just leave good comments. Also follow us on Instagram and TikTok at the.traumedy.show. I get it wrong every time.
The.traumedy.show.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That's correct. Now I know that I just said in this episode that this was the end of my story. But the literal day after we recorded that episode, I received a DM that was so shocking. We are changing what we're doing with the course of this podcast. We are now pausing our cadence of episodes for a very special guest that we have to have on. And you don't want to miss it because the current events that are unraveling at a very rapid pace are extremely shocking and extremely vile. So stay tuned for next week.